Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. And right now, we bring to you the man we are all so excited re-signed with the Texas Rangers. It is Nathan Eovaldi. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
I hope you could hear all that applause for you.
I can, yes, I can. Thank y'all.
So, I know we got a lot of baseball stuff to get to, but I have to ask another question first. Back in the day, you had originally committed to Texas A&M. Were you in on this Texas A&M Texas football game about a week or so ago?
I was not. I had unfortunately declined their offer after I had previously committed to them, and then I had declined it. And I told them that I would take my luck with the draft, and I was able to, you know, get drafted by the Dodgers.
Seems like it turned out all
right. Yeah, I mean, you clearly made the right decision. Did Texas A&M do anything bad? Because we've heard some scary recruiting stories about sometimes A&M's kind of intense.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty intense. I mean, ultimately it just came down to, you know, me wanting to end up playing with the or trying to take my luck in the draft. My first Tommy John I was a junior in high school, so I didn't want to take that opportunity to, you know, possibly get hurt again playing in college. You know, my dream was to play in the big leagues, and I wanted to take that opportunity and, you know, run with it, and try my luck in the draft. And it, like I said, it all worked out.
Eovaldi, I know you just talked about your injury you had in high school, and I know we're going back in the day, and we'll talk about now here pretty soon, but did you play any other sports? Were you a basketball player or a football player in Alvin?
So growing up in Alvin, I had fallen off a horse when I was 9 years old, and I had a really bad concussion. So my dad was like, "You're not playing football." And I never put on the pads, so like I didn't know anything that what I'd be missing or anything like that. So, growing up, I played some basketball. But once I got to high school, you know, being in Texas, it's like you can play baseball 24/7. Our high school coach was pretty adamant about us only playing baseball. And, you know, that was my best sport at the time, so that's what I did.
Pitchers are all about the fundamentals. And I know you were only 9, but did you fall off the horse because you weren't doing the right fundamental things to stay on that horse?
Yeah, I guess it was a neighbor's dog, and he came running across the yard and spooked the horse, and the horse went up, and I let go of the reins. So, yeah, I let go. I should have held on a little tighter.
I'm sorry, I laughed. No, is it okay to laugh now?
Laugh.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Do you ride horses now, or are you, like, done with horses since 9 years old?
No, I've been done for the most part.
I'm with him because I'm definitely allergic to horses, so that's why I can't be on horses. So me and Eovaldi are together on the sideline. I like it.
There we go.
Now, you have seen, here in Texas, you've seen the World Series, and you've seen not the best season. What was it that you said, I have to be back for this club?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
What was it that it made you say, I have to be back with this club, with this organization?
Again, you know, we were able to come over there in 23. I saw the guys that we had, and we were able to win World Series, and I don't feel like much has changed from that. I know last year we didn't play well, and we didn't play up to our standards, but I feel like that was just, you know, I feel like we all kind of struggled at the same time, right? We were never able to get back on page. You know, this year coming back, you know, see why I spoke about the vision that he has for the team and what it's going to take for us to win, and we've got ownership back in him, and you know, I feel like we're going to be back to where we were in 23, and we're going to be surprising a lot of people again. You know, I feel like our division's up for grabs. You know, I feel like we've got a great opportunity to go out there and win a lot of games. So that was very intriguing for me to come back. And, you know, you got DeGrom healthy, ready to go, and you got Tyler Mahle, who's going to be back, and you got Rocker and Leiter. I talk about benefits from a losing season, right? You're going to have young guys who come up who, you know, they get to perform, and they may not have had, you know, that opportunity if we were winning a bunch of ball games. But, you know, obviously they're going to help us. They're going to help, and they're going to contribute down the road, and, you know, they're going to be ready for it this time around.
So I know you watch bullpens of your teammates, and I remember being in spring training with the Phillies and watching Billy Wagner, and I thought to myself, how does any human being ever touch a baseball off of Billy Wagner? You just mentioned Jacob DeGrom. When you watch guys throw bullpens, is he the most impressive guy that you watch standing behind and watch his stuff?
I would say so. I mean, you know, we have all the data and everything in the TrackMan, and you get the strike zones right there. He doesn't throw any pitches down the middle. I mean, he locates everything at the bottom of the zone. I mean, in his bullpens, it's crisp, it's clean. You know, he's like, he works on his changeup that he doesn't throw as much, and it's nasty. He throws some curveballs that he doesn't throw in the games, and they're nasty. And then you see the slider and the fastball, but it's not only is all of his pitches electric, but he locates them. And, I mean, it starts in the bullpen, and it's really fun to watch because, you know, he'll throw a pitch, and he's big on, he'll be, oh, terrible, oh, the worst, and it's, you know, 95 on the black, just not at the bottom corner on the black, it's just on the black middle away, and it's fun to watch. It's nice to be able to give him a hard time about the little things like that, too.
So, Evo, I know your teammates love you and call you a leader of the pitching staff, and you watch those bullpens. Can you explain to the Ranger fans here, why do you watch those bullpens, and how do you try to lead from, yes, the example of being the pitcher on the mound, but also from watching pens and talking to your guys?
You want to be able to help somebody out during the game, right? But if you're not watching what they're working on in the bullpen, you know, it's hard to help them out during the games as well. And, you know, I feel like everybody's a little different when we work in the bullpen and then we transition to the game on the game mound. I feel like, you know, we all go out there and we compete a little differently. But when we're in the bullpen, you're trying to work on your craft. And, you know, they might say something that benefits me, and then they might be trying to do something that I can help them out in the bullpen or try to simplify something down. You know, we talk about pitch sequencing and, you know, ways to use pitches, you know, I don't know. There's so many different things. I feel like sometimes, you know, you go out there and you have a game plan of how you're going to attack a hitter, but then the hitter is going to show you something different, right? Or you can help set up different pitches, and it's just fun to talk ball and in the bullpen, in the dugout during the game when we're not pitching. You know, we want to make sure that we're watching the game, and you know, if we see something, you know, you got all the pitching coaches, Mike Maddox, and you know, Bobby Wilson, and everybody, they're all watching the games, and you know, they're not missing a beat. And, you know, it's another set of eyes. You might see something that nobody else sees, and if you're able to help out, then it's going to help us win ball games, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
It sounds like the answer is yes, but do you feel like you get that same, like, palpable fan excitement when you see some of the younger guys, like Rocker or Leiter? I know you were already talking about DeGrom, and you see them in those bullpens, and you're like, oh, holy cow, they really can help our team. Because when you describe it, you sound like you're just sitting in the stands like us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're watching and everything, it's, again, being able to, you know, fortunately be around so many different pitchers and arms and stuff, like, we have some of the elite of the elite. Like, there's no other DeGrom, there's no other Rocker or Leiter out there in the game right now. So it's like, it comes down to being able to bottle up your craft and, you know, locate and throw strikes. And I think that's one of the things DeGrom's done extremely well, and that's one of the things, you know, that Rocker and Leiter are still working on. And, you know, knowing that they have to change up their pitches and their sequencing and things like that the first time, second time, you know, hopefully the third time through the lineup, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, was, I mean, that's definitely one of the things that was intriguing and, you know, encouraging me to come back. I knew what we had, and I knew the guys that were, you know, on the roster and who's coming up and things like that. So I know that we have arms available, and I know that we have what it takes to win.
Evo, you've played for different managers along the way, and Bruce Bochy's one of the best. What does Bruce Bochy maybe do different than all the other managers you've had?
I think he stays the same all the time. And, you know, obviously he'll get frustrated if we're not playing well. And, you know, he's not afraid to tell the guys. I mean, there's a lot of funny stories, I feel like. You know, I can't think of any right now on the spot, but like, there's those moments, like, what, you know, the stuff that comes out of his mouth is pure gold. And he keeps the guys relaxed. He knows what it takes to win. He believes in the staff and the guys that we have. And you know, I feel like he knows when you know, one of the biggest things is when to take a guy out of the game and leave him in. And you know, he does that really well.
So you got a new teammate yesterday too in Jake Berger. We're going to talk to him later. Have you faced Jake Berger, and what do you know about him?
I'm sure I faced him. I don't remember the results. I'm really bad about this stuff, like recalling what happened during the games and, you know, who my first strikeout was in the big league. Sometimes I forget. I don't know. I feel like sometimes, like, I've got to be able to turn the page when I'm out there pitching, right? Like, I know sometimes, like, I can attack guys one way or another, and, you know, you kind of keep doing the same. I don't want to do the same thing, right? So I make sure that I'm prepared before I go into a start, knowing how to get the guy out. But no, I don't know much about him. I know that he hits a lot of homers, so I'm looking forward to watching that and cheering for him from the dugout.
Let's say when you're facing the Seattle Mariners in April and then you face them again in June, have you kind of forgotten how you got those guys out in April or what they did successfully against you?
I mean, sometimes we have to face them back to back, and I mean, I do my homework. I take a ton of notes, and I'll do them all over again 5 days later, because maybe they find something in their swing, maybe they find something different in the series when we face them. They may be hot, they may be cold. So I got my notes I can go back to and look at, but for the most part, I like to watch the swings, read the swings, and, you know, try to make sure that I'm mixing up all my pitches. And other times too, you know, I've got five pitches, so I might have one pitch working really well, you know, that day for me, and I'm relying on it a lot more than another one. So I think that's one of the things that's helped me out in my career is having, you know, five different pitches and using them all differently too.
With that many pitches, how often do you have a warm-up of your bullpen or whatever, and you're like, well, that pitch is not going to be on the table today? Like, it's just not working the way I need it to.
Yeah, so, you know, when I was younger, I would believe that, right? Like, if there was one pitch that wasn't working, I'm like, I'm not using that during the game. And, you know, I find myself down from five pitches down to two, right? But I feel like, you know, that's one of the things I try to tell a lot of the young guys is there's always going to be an opportunity to throw a pitch. There's going to be a safe count, like, where you can, you know, I do it with my curveball a lot, I feel like, where I'm just going to throw it right down the middle. And nobody's waiting to hit that pitch, right? You're trying to hit a fastball or, you know, the splitter, cutter, something like that, something that's coming in a lot firmer. And when that slow pitch comes in, it just, you know, it kind of freezes the pitcher or the hitter, but it also resets everything too, right? So it's like kind of gets me back on track and back in the counts. And, you know, maybe, you know, at the beginning of the game, I didn't have the pitch working, but hopefully by the fourth or fifth inning, I've got it working now.
Last question, did you write a list of what you wanted for Christmas to Santa?
Oh.
And what's on the list?
I'm really bad with Santa. I haven't been asking Santa for a lot lately.
Another World Series.
That's it, right? I mean, if I had to pick one, that'd be the biggest one right there is another World Series title.
See, I thought for sure you were going to say, I wish for a 3-year, $75 million deal. Like,
he delivered early.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed. Well,
right.
Nate, thank you so much. And really, everybody here, you heard the fans when we started. They're all pumped. I'm a lifelong Metroplex person. I'm pumped you're back. So thank you very much for the time, and so glad you're here to stay.
Thank you, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing you all out there on the field in 2025.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You hear the cheers for Nathan Eovaldi. Now, Mike, I know I'm going to regret this. Let me ask you something. We got Jake Berger coming up in the normal Mike Likes It slot.
Yeah.
If I were inclined to move some things around and still provide a space for Mike Likes It, would you be excited about such things?
I mean, the people...
It sounds
like they need to take a load off here at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm here to provide it.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming up next.
Oh, God, is it me already?
No. Coming up next, NFL overreaction or reality. We'll do that live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford on 105.3 The Fan.